Right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. That was got nothing to do with what I was going to say at all. So we'll try and whip through some of... No, not whip through. We'll try and do this relatively quickly. And then we're going to take some bread and wine together. I want us just to think a little bit about the journey that we're on at CCE and talk a little bit about some priorities that we feel and sense for the coming season. I want us just to start by playing a word that I think it's Andy Johnson's sister. Is that right, Andy? Was it your sister? Alison. Gave to us a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't here. The students were away on a student weekend away. But listening to it, and when I was talking to Colin, when I came back, it just felt for me like this wasn't just a word for some individuals on a day. This was, God was saying something to us as a community that felt very significant. And interestingly, some of the same themes were coming through as we've been talking on the student weekend away the night before. So I want us just to listen to this again, and hopefully it'll come. One of the reasons that really struck me was because my sense 10 years ago was God was saying that we would be a place of refuge for people. And that people would come to this community where they'd been beaten up by life or perhaps even beaten up by other churches, and they would find a place of refuge. And they would find a place of healing. And I believe we are that. And I believe we have been that. And I've seen people come from other churches, and sometimes they not stayed around for very long, but they found a place of healing. And they found a place where there's been disappointment and bruises and wounding. And they've come and they found Jesus, and they found some listening and some prayer, and they found some healing. And so I believe we have been, and we still are, to be a place of refuge. But that got my attention when she talked about us being a place of refuge in a refugee camp. But my sense would be that what she's saying is something for us as a community now, that we are to build a house or a home. And yes, it will still be a place of refuge for people who've been beaten up by life and maybe even beaten up by other churches. But it's also it's a place where it's home. And I want to just talk a little bit about the journey, just changing analogy, although we'll use that house thing as I go on. I want to just think a little bit about the journey that we're going on, and I want to just read some scriptures. My goal this morning is not primarily exegetical teaching from the scriptures, but more just trying to talk a little bit of what I sense God is saying. But I do want to read what I believe actually are very... These scriptures are scriptures I keep on coming back to, and they're found in Matthew chapter 7. And if I ever get back to preaching through the Sermon on the Mount and carry on, then we might get there to these verses in an exegetical way in about 2023. But Matthew chapter 7, let's just read about the narrow and the wide gates. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, these verses historically have been mainly interpreted as about coming to faith. It's about salvation, as it were, that point of conversion. But I actually believe when you think about the context of these verses, Jesus has just been outlining some of the hardest, most radical teaching of how to live in a fully human way. In his disciples, he's inviting them into a totally different way of living, a way of forgiveness and not using people for our sexual exploitation, a way of resolving our differences and our anger with people when they offend us and they hurt us, a way of telling the truth and loving our enemies and not judging. And he does all this incredible teaching, and then he says, now, there are two paths that are here before you. There's a narrow path, and it is the road less traveled. There are few that walk down this path. But I believe that's the invitation that Jesus was giving those disciples at that time, to walk down this path. It's a hard road to put in practice the teachings of Jesus, but it is a path that leads to life. But broad is the path that leads to destruction, and you will find loads of traveling companions along that road. And so there's something about a journey that Jesus invites his disciples and that community, that first prototype community of kingdom people, to walk down. And he says it's a journey that will lead to life. It's a journey that I really am committed to walking down, and I believe we are committed to walking down, or many of us here. And so I think that path, that narrow path, is quite a helpful way for us to think about a journey that CCE wants to, or we want, or God wants CCE to go on. And so I just want to think about that just for a minute. We've talked a little bit about one way of describing this journey that CCE is going on, that we sense God is saying to us. And in one sense, there is nothing radical or new about this at all. It's formed from two different scriptures, one found in Matthew 22, one found in Matthew 28. And I would say any good, healthy church, these two scriptures probably ought to be informing the direction of travel or the journey that we want to go on. So in Matthew 22, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And that is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is called the Great Commandment. And in a sense, it sums up everything that Jesus was teaching about this journey, this path, this narrow way. If you do that, then that will lead to life. And specifically, you may need to forgive your enemies, love your enemies, forgive people when they offend you, blah, 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 blah. So there's that scripture, and then there's Matthew 28. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hope you can read those. Sorry, that text is maybe a wee bit small if you're sitting at the back. So for us, this journey, this direction that we are going in, the thing that I think we all want to see, or many of us want to see in this community, could be described as a journey inwards, a journey outward, and a journey together. It could be described as loving God, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves, loving the world. It could be described as community, mission, discipleship. There are a number of different ways in which we could describe this journey that we're going on. I quite like that sense of this journey inwards, because I think one of the things that is true and maybe even slightly distinctive about who we are is that sense of us coming and taking seriously the call to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I want to, one of the dreams that I have for myself and for all of us is that I can do that journey well, of learning how to love myself, of learning what the real Rupert really is, and learning to like and love that, and not the masks and the pretenses and the insecurities and the defenses and all the stuff that the world around me has taught to live, and I have bought into and made my own. But I really want to discover the authentic, true Rupert and learn to love him like Jesus loves me. And I'd love to see that for each one of us. Wouldn't that be a fantastic thing for us to be truly revealed in this world as who we were really meant to be? And I wonder if that's something what this groaning of all creation in Romans 8 is talking about, for the sons of God to be revealed. In other words, who we really meant to be, who we were made to be. And that requires us to go on a lifelong journey, that journey inwards, that journey outwards, that we're not just for ourselves. And I think those two journeys are absolutely impossible without traveling companions. We can't do it on our own. But I don't really mind whether you use journey inwards, outwards, or together, whether you use Great Commandment or Great Commission or Community Mission Discipleship. I think they all describe this journey that we are going on. But at various points on the journey, you can't really see it up there, but there's some big boulders that have crashed into the road. And at various points in the journey, sometimes we need to prioritize a few things that are important to us to actually meet the end goals of where we want to journey towards. When I was living in Pakistan, we went on a three-day trip, trek in the Himalayan foothills. It was Easter time, snow line was about 18,000 feet or something like that. It was really pleasant and warm during the day. It was absolutely Baltic at night. It was absolutely freezing. And we were walking just below the snow line and sometimes just above it. It was supposed to be a fairly easy trek where there were some clear paths, maybe not marked in quite the way that we might think they would be marked in this country, but clear paths, and some very definite stop-off places where there was the ability to build a fire and cook some food. So the first night was absolutely fine. We found our way, we found the place to stay, it got beds, it got a fire, we could make ourselves warm, cook some food, got some candles, we could light some candles. We had no problem at all. The second day we got completely lost. And the thing about sunset in that part of the world is it hits really quickly. And when you're up a mountain 18,000 foot, miles from anywhere, it's absolutely dark. There's no streetlights anywhere. And the sun started to fade, and we had no idea where we were. Our priority was to find somewhere to sleep that night that was out of the cold. That was our priority. It wasn't finding our way down the mountain. It wasn't trying to find the path again, because we had no idea how long it would take us to get to our intended place of stop. The priority was to find somewhere to sleep the night, that we would survive. So we found a cow shelter. It didn't have any doors, but at least it had a roof. It was probably the coldest night I've ever had, and all inhibitions of snuggling together with three other men went completely out the window. Just any way to keep warm, but at least we had a roof over our head, and we could get out the wind. So sometimes on a journey, there become a place where you need to prioritize certain things because we want to journey well. Because we want to get to the end of our destination. The next day when the sun came up, we managed to re-find a path and walk down a road and get a lift somewhere. We didn't quite manage to get to where we meant to get to, but we managed to get off the mountain. And there are certain points, and I believe now is a point where actually for us, there is a need for us to prioritize some things in our community, because that's what God is calling us to do, so that we can actually move in these three things of developing this journey inward, outward, and together: discipleship, community, mission, great commandment, great commission, the things that we really dream of being. And I think I just want we want to offer three things that we sense that God is calling us to. And if you were at the forum, you would have heard these things before. And I want tonight, today, and I want us to be inviting you, I am inviting you, to come and join together to make these things happen. It is a little bit like there's some boulders on the road, and for us to journey along this road well, we need to shunt some of these boulders out of the way. And if I try and do it on my own, it's going to be pretty hard work. Actually, it wouldn't be me, but if a few of us try and do it, it's a pretty hard work. But if we all join together and do this, I think we can see some real movement and some real shift in amongst us. I think it's something about these walls coming down that we were singing about earlier on. I think it's about heaven coming into earth. And I think if we all gather together to do that, I think we can make a real difference. If a few of us do it, it's going to be hard work. So I want to invite you to come and participate in these priorities and sense and see how God is calling you to make some of these things a reality for us. So the first thing that I think we really want to see is we want to see more people come to faith in Christ through us being good news. You know, it thrills me. It's brilliant when people come into and they touch our community. Maybe they come because they're friends and they just sort of join in with the life of our community. Maybe they come on a Sunday. Maybe they come on an Alpha course, and we see ones and twos, and we see people's lives being changed because they have an encounter with Jesus, which absolutely changes their lives, and it's fantastic. You know, one of the things that surprises me in an age when we're talking so much about mission, being incarnational, and we're going out and we're meeting people where they are, people still come here, and they come in here, and some of them have never been in church before, and they end up sobbing their hearts out and crying because they meet with Jesus. Like, that's so uncool, untrendy, un-PC mission, but they meet with Jesus. That's what I want to see. That's what I think God wants to see amongst us. And I would love to see those ones and twos turn into threes and fours and tens and twenties. Yeah? And I think we need to recapture a sense of a confidence that Jesus wants to change people's lives. And a life without Jesus is definitely a life that is not being lived in all its fullness. I think when I first became a Christian, we divided the world up into two groups of people. You were either a Christian or you were a non-Christian. And if you were a non-Christian, you needed to become a Christian. Because otherwise, blah, 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 blah. I think one of the things that we have learnt about, which has had a profound impact on me and the way that I see people, that I don't necessarily carve the world up in that way, is thinking about every single human being as an image bearer. And that has been a fantastic and beautiful and brilliant thing. And it means that when you meet somebody, you connect with their humanity rather than trying to work out, are you a Christian or not? And that's been great. But I wonder if in the midst of that, we've lost something of a confidence that Jesus really does want to change people's lives. And a life without Jesus is inevitably a road to destruction. And I just believe we need to push a boulder out the road and have an expectation and faith that God can break into some people's lives. I had a friend at school, a guy called Archie, and he invited me. He was a Christian. He was a good Christian. And he invited me to lots of Christian events. And I liked Archie, but I wasn't too sure I liked the events. And so I said, well, Archie, I'll invite lots of people. So I got the leaflets and I invited them. And I'd stand at the door and welcome people in, but I would never go in myself. And I think Archie, after a while, gave up on trying to see me become a Christian. I toodle off to Pakistan, go and live with some missionaries, radically meet with Jesus, Come back completely and utterly transformed. I go to Greenbelt, meet Archie. And Archie goes, do you know, you were the last person that I ever thought would become a Christian. You just seemed so uninterested. And it was so not what you seemed to be into at all. If God can break into my life, he can break into anybody's life. He really can. I mean, if he can break into Colin's life, I mean, he must be an amazingly powerful God if he can do that. I wonder whether when we look at our neighbours and our work colleagues, whether we see them beyond the reach of the Holy Spirit. God can break into anyone's life. I think we just need to expect that the Holy Spirit is at work in these people. And I think we need to pray. 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 So that our expectation that people will come and meet with Jesus is increased. I think we need to push this boulder out the road. Come on! Okay. Now, I was going to say something about mission, and I know mission's much larger than this, and it is. So it's much larger than this, but I just believe we need to see, God is wanting to see more people come to faith. And for us to have an expectation that that would be the case. Okay, priority number two. I think we need to develop pathways for equipping and formation. One of the things that distresses me immensely, it distresses me beyond words. I cannot tell you how deeply and profoundly I feel utterly sad and distressed is when people step off that journey. Yeah. It really distresses me. And it's like, how can you step off that journey when you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And then I read the Psalms and I remember the psalmist, or I read the psalmist going, remember the time when God did this. Remember the time. We forget so easily. We forget so easily those encounters with Jesus that are utterly and amazingly transforming and wonderful. And like, oh, I'd give my life for this. I would sell everything I had just to get that pearl of great price. Oh. And we forget. And we harden our hearts. And then sometimes people seem to stand still or step off that journey. And I would love to see a community of people where we're really intentional about our spiritual growth. And I think as leaders, we want to try and provide some pathways. They won't be all the pathways, but maybe some pathways for us to be really intentionally growing in our faith. Nurturing our relationship with Jesus and allowing the character of Christ to be formed within us. Because if we are not intentional about that journey, it's so easy for our heart to get hard and us to forget and to stand still and step off. Colin came back from France and he shared this sort of thing that he'd heard as a kind of word. 90% of vineyard owners are over 55. And there are many, many, many of them that do not have family members that are going to take over the vineyards. There is a crisis in leadership of vineyards. We need to be intentional about raising sons and daughters in this house. There are people who will take responsibility, who are committed to that journey, who are working the character of Christ in their lives. That we will run our race well, we'll finish, and there awaits me the crown of righteousness, says Paul. That's what I want on my tombstone. He ran his race well. He kept the faith. And there awaits for him crown of righteousness. And we need to be absolutely intentional. And so I want to ask the question, how do you intend to grow in your faith next year? What are you going to do that will intentionally help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and in your character and maybe some of your skills? That you can be a kingdom person. We want to try and provide some pathways, but unless we're absolutely intentional about that, I want to make some declarations in a minute. The first one I want to declare, which I forgot to say, is I want to declare this is a house of salvation. I don't mean this building, I mean us. I think we should be having some new babies in our family pretty regularly. It's normal, isn't it? Families produce babies most of the time. I mean, sure, some of the time that's a bit harder. Some of the time you have to fight for it and there's a bit of medical intervention. Some families that's a real struggle for. I appreciate that there's some difficulties, but the normal, natural thing is that families have babies. We should have some babies. So let's declare this is a house of salvation. This is a house of healing and deliverance and freedom. This is a house where people come and they meet with Jesus and get set free. Come on. I also want to declare that this is a house of growth and formation. A house where we're nurtured and trained, and some are sent out on great adventures with God. And this is a house where some are nurtured and trained for great adventures in Edinburgh. You put down roots, you make this your home, and you join in resourcing this house for us to be a kingdom presence in this city and beyond. I believe it should be a normal and natural thing that to be part of this family, we should be growing in our faith. How have you grown over the last year? And how do you intend to grow in the next year? Okay, number three, coming to an end. You might be glad to say. Number three, I think we should nurture a desire for and an encounter with God. When Alan was up, Alan Cox gives some coaching and mentoring and discipleship, if you like, to us as leaders, community of leaders. To perhaps Colin and I meet with him a bit as well, and Andrew and Anne were in some of that meeting this week, and community of leaders. So he's a provocation. What I said about him earlier, right? I love Alan. I think he's great. Just want to clarify that for the record, even if he makes my life miserable. We spent a lot of time talking about the presence of God. I believe it's that narrow path where Jesus is walking. So he says in Matthew 28, I am with you. And we can only walk that path with the presence of Jesus. And I think we've lost some of our expectancy that God would break into our lives and change people's lives and do some dramatic and amazing and wonderful things. And I think we need to recapture it. We see it a bit, but we don't see it anything like enough. Alan started talking about presence being defined as three things: worship, prayer, and prophetic. And I think we need to grow in all of those things. I remember times when we used to just be lost in worship for an hour more. Shirley and others were leading. The presence of God was thick when we came here. What we touch now is but a dribble of what God wants to release upon us. And our Western rational minds get in the way and block it. And even now, there's some of you sitting here thinking, yeah, right. And our cynicism stops us encountering the presence of God that would radically and desperately change a world that is longing for God, even if it doesn't know it. I was in a small group this week, last Sunday, somebody stuck on three songs in a group, handed out words. The songs were a YouTube video and two other songs on iTunes. And we sang. It was so uncool. I mean, it really was. It was really, really uncool. I mean, it's kind of what we did 20-odd years ago. You know, now we do lots of different ways, and actually I'm not knocking those ways of worshipping, I'm really not. But this was really uncool in a sense of doing worship. The presence of God was there. Mm-hmm. I came in grumpy, tired, didn't really want to be there. I was only there because I've committed to being there. Mm-hmm. Came out like, oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then we took a stone or something like that, and we were passing the stone. The rules are that when you have the stone, you can talk, and when you don't have the stone, you listen. Somebody shared something. Somebody else said, I've got a word for you. You don't have the stone. I've got a word for you. And shared a prophetic word. I had a sense in that moment that Jesus was saying, we need to lay aside our coolness for the presence of God. If you want to be cool, you go and be cool. But you won't experience the presence of God. You really won't. And while we're on this issue, I have noticed that there are way more people here at 11 o'clock than at 10:30. Now, full marks for powers of observation. And I'm aware that there are some legitimate reasons why some people can't be here at 10:30. And actually, you need to be congratulated for being here. Mm-hmm. Well done. Because it's just hard work just to get here. Well done. But for others of us, I want to ask a question about how much we really value the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And how much we really expect God to be here. And come expecting to encounter and meet with God mm-hmm. when we gather here. I can't answer that question for you. I wouldn't want to judge the intentions and the motives of your heart. Because Jesus, in a few verses before the Matthew 7 bit, had some quite hard things to say about judgment. But I would like to invite you to reflect on your motives and your values. If we value the presence of God, we will make space for it. And I wonder if we're habitually here after 10:30, what that says about our valuing of the presence of God. Because some of us are here at 10:30 expecting to worship and expecting to meet with Jesus. Hope that's okay. If it isn't, tough. So I want to declare that this is a house of God's presence. We welcome him and we wait for him, knowing without his presence that we have very little to offer, a world dying of need around us. This is a house of worship. This is a house of prayer. And this is the house of the prophetic. So, I want us just to declare this, and then we're going to take some bread and wine. And I want to invite you to come and join in. I want to invite you to come and push behind these three things. I think as leaders, we want to invite you to do that.
Yeah, we do.
We want to invite you to come. And let's pray and push that this is a house of salvation. This is a house where people can come and meet with Jesus and be healed and delivered and set free. And we want to see people come to faith. We want to invite you to come and push and remove some of the rubble and the blockages that this could be a house of growth and formation. This is not a refugee camp where we're looking out for our own needs. This is a house where we're intentional about our growth and our relationship with Jesus and about the forming of Christ within our hearts. And I want to invite you that this is a house of God's presence, and we need to be intentional about welcoming and waiting on the presence of God. And I believe I have a word. This is prophetic, so you can weigh it and test it. But I believe we need to reprioritize. I believe Jesus is calling us to reprioritize. Some of us thinking, I just don't have time. Yeah, you don't. You're right. But we need to reprioritize. Okay, I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that might mean for me. But I think we might need to reprioritize so that we make these things a priority. And we've got time and space to push, to bring them into reality. I've been fairly straight today. I hope you can catch my heart. Let's stand and declare. And I would, so we've got it up here. I hope you can see it. If you can't, perhaps you come down to the front. Please don't say this if you don't want to say this. That's absolutely fine. You can just sit there or stand there. But if you want to join together in praying this, perhaps the band could come back, lead us in a song. We've either got a Holy Spirit song or a Jesus song. I'll leave that up to Drew. Or we might have a Holy Spirit and a Jesus song. And then as we come and take bread and wine, I'd like to come and take it as an act of commitment, firstly to Jesus. But in your heart, you might want to say, yeah, I'm committing to some of this stuff too. There's one other thing I wanted to say. I think there's some people here and you're not a Christian. And today, this house is a house of salvation. Today, you can come and meet with Jesus. Today, you can have your life radically and completely turned upside down. And then in the process of having your life turned upside down, you realize it was upside down in the first place. You just didn't know it because you were so used to it being upside down. And Jesus comes to turn our lives upside down, and we discover that that really is the right way up. We discover that the way of forgiveness is actually the way that God intended us to be. To receive his forgiveness and to offer forgiveness to other people. And today you can come and meet with Jesus. So if that's you, there is an invitation, because this is a house of salvation. And you can come and find freedom and deliverance and healing in this place. And so come. As you come and take bread and wine this morning, come, and we would love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. Colin, Chris, Lisa, Alison, anyone. We'd love to pray for you and introduce you to our friend who's changed our lives and will change yours too. So let's declare this. Don't have to if you don't want to. But if you want to, please, let's do it with faith, gusto, excitement, expectancy, and passion, and enthusiasm. Yes. What did you say enthusiasm was?
Filled with God.
Filled with God. Okay? Come on. So, we declare this is a house of salvation. People finding faith in Christ, healing, forgiveness, and freedom. We declare this is a house of growth in our faith and formation in our character, where some are nurtured, trained, and sent out on great adventures for God, and some are nurtured and trained for great adventures in Edinburgh, to put down roots, make this home, and join in resourcing this house for us to be a kingdom presence in this city and beyond. We declare this is a house of God's presence. We welcome him and wait for him, knowing without his presence, we have very little to offer a world dying of need around us. We declare this is a house of worship, prayer, and prophetic.